Good morning. This morning we are looking at the final chapter in that wonderful book, Man Was Not Born to Cry, by Joel Goldsmith. And the name of the chapter is The Prince of Peace. And of course that refers to the Son of God at the center of your being. This is an important chapter. This is an important book. It seems to me its whole mission is to enable you to make the transition from man of earth, or from your human self, to your Christ identity. And so we have a lot to cover today. If you have not done so, pause this talk. Have a silent meditation in which you listen for that still small voice, in which you become receptive, silent. This could be a glorious day for you. This could be the day that the Prince of Peace announces itself in your consciousness. And I'm not just saying those words. I am telling you this from divine authority. Now we're going to start today with an email that I received from someone, and I think it expresses a lot of our concerns. It expresses in feelings what many of us are feeling. And so I'm not picking on any one individual. I just think this expresses so well what we are feeling and thinking that it's a good place to start. And so rather than writing you, the author, a lengthy email reply, this talk today will be your reply, my dear friend. And it begins, "There's nothing I want more than to leave this world of good and evil. But how do we do it without leaving the earth or becoming a hermit?" Now, of course, I had that same conversation with Virginia Stevenson in one of the private sessions after her class in Memphis, Tennessee, a few years back. To say that this is hard is kind of misleading. It means to me that it can be done. It will just take a lot of work and be difficult. I've never shied away from hard things before, but I'm starting to doubt if this can even be achieved in this lifetime. The problem is I don't know what else to do than what I'm doing, and there's nothing to go back to. You talk from this chapter, or your talk from this chapter, gives me some hope that I really am finally getting close, kind of, to the transition, or close, kind of like the transition in childbirth. Just when you think you can't take much more, the baby is born. Do you think the Prince of Peace is about to be born in me? Well, my dear friend, I have had, and many of us have had and are having, these same labor pains. And I can tell you, I myself have doubted whether this can be done in one lifetime. But this morning I'm seeing this in a different light. I am seeing that it's not up to me. It's not up to you. I'm seeing that all our struggle to attain this is perhaps yet again a misperception of what needs to happen. And so this morning's talk is going to be about the birth of Christ. And yes, it can happen in this lifetime. It can happen in a split second. Oh, I know you're familiar with Joel saying, all of a sudden, in an instant, illumination comes, and then you forget all the years' labor you've put into it. Like you said, just when you think you can't take much more, the baby is born. And then you ask, do you think the Prince of Peace is about to be born in me? And the answer is, of course, yes. Yes, the Prince of Peace is about to be born in all of us. So let's enter into this chapter in the realization that this can be the day that the Prince of Peace, Christ, is upon us. I'm starting with a tiny portion of Practicing the Presence, Chapter 4, The Infinite Nature of Individual Being. But soon we'll get into Not Born to Cry. And so we start with this story. I know we've heard it many times before, but listen, if you can, with your soul. There is an old, old story about a great spiritual teacher who knocked at the gates of heaven for admission into paradise. After some time, God came to the door and inquired, "Who is there? Who knocks?" To this query came the confident response, "It is I." "Sorry, very sorry. There is no room in heaven. Go away. You will have to come back some other time." The good man, surprised at the rebuff, went away, puzzled. After several years spent in meditating and pondering over the strange reception, he returned and knocked again at the gate. He was met with the same question and gave a similar response. Once again, he was told that there was no room in heaven. It was completely filled at that time. In the years that passed, the teacher went deeper and deeper within himself, meditating and pondering. After a long period of time had elapsed, he knocked at the gates of heaven for the third time. Again God asked, "Who is there?" This time his answer was, "Thou art." And the gates opened wide as God said, "Come in, come in. There never was room for me and thee." Now I'm sure we chuckle or we giggle or perhaps snicker at that little story. We've heard it before. Isn't it cute? Isn't it just fine and lovely? But that's because we don't understand the depth of it. For this cute little story is exactly the way to Christhood. Listen to the paragraph after that. "There is not God and you or I. There is only God, expressed, manifested as individual being. There is only one life, the Father's. We are outside of heaven. with no hope of ever gaining entrance to it as long as we believe that we have a self apart from God, a being separate and independent of God. All through the ages, duality has separated us from our good, but it is a sense of duality, not duality, because there is no duality. The secret of life is oneness, and oneness is not something that we bring about. Oneness is a state of being. Again, he says, there is not God and you or I. God is expressed, manifested as individual being. There is only one life, the Father's. We are outside of heaven with no hope of gaining entrance as long as we believe we have a self apart from God. And now, listen again. I've never shied away from hard things before, but I'm starting to doubt if this can even be achieved in this lifetime for me. The problem is I don't know what else to do than what I'm doing, and there's nothing to go back to. So, who is this me? Is this not the very sense of self that Joel just told us has no existence? The sense of self that's trying to reach God, trying to attain Christhood, trying to leave this world of good and evil? Now, again, I'm not picking on anybody. I've struggled with these same things, but we must have an understanding of them if we are to find our Christhood. And so this is the perfect opportunity to say, if you are struggling, you are in a false sense of self. You must find your Christhood, for I am the way. And again, Joel tells us this in The Thunder of Silence. In the chapter, This is a Spiritual Universe. In this chapter, This is a Spiritual Universe, basically Joel tells us there is no world of good and evil to overcome. The world of good and evil that we think we need to step out of is not a world at all. It's a misperception in the mind. And so he says to us, there is no such thing as a material body. There is only a material concept of body, or a material concept of spiritual body. There is no such thing as a material universe. There are only material concepts of the one spiritual universe. As long as we accept a material concept of universe, we are under the laws of matter. If you accept a world of good and evil, you are under the laws of two. But you're not under the laws of a world of good and evil. You're under the laws imposed by mental concepts. There's no world out here to overcome. He says it. There is no such thing as a material universe. There's no such thing as a world of good and evil. There's no such thing as a self trying to get back to God. However, says Joel, we are free as soon as we begin to understand that we live and move and have our being in the first chapter of Genesis, where man is made in the image and likeness of God, or Spirit, and that the soul of God is the soul of man, the life of God is the life of man, the mind of God is the mind of man, and the body of God is the body of man. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Not the body as it is seen in the mirror, but as it really is. I believe that's as plain as I have ever heard it said. There's no such thing as a material body. There's no such thing as a material universe. There is no self that's separate from God. There is no self that has its own identity trying to get back to God. There is no world of good and evil. These are concepts. We are not overcoming a world. We are not overcoming a self. We are finding a way to go inside our temple. And let the concepts stop. In that stillness where concepts are not flowing, where they are still and silent, Christ reveals the spiritual universe, the spiritual self, itself, the spiritual mind, the spiritual soul, the spiritual body, as existing right here. The entire work is that of stepping out of concepts inside, laying down, letting go of misperceptions, so that the living God may reveal omnipresence and the fact that you are one with it. And it is in you, and it is you. This is all a transition, a transformation within you. There is nothing and no one out here that has to be changed. The transition within yourself is to come out of the concept of self, the concept of a universe of good and evil, and stand stock still and stop. You have no work. There is no effort. The only effort is to find that place of stillness. Then the eye within you lifts you up, and you behold a new universe. Here, always having been here, but you never saw it. And so the work is to find a way to not work. The effort is to find a way to be effortless. The thoughts are to find a way to be thoughtless. The quiet is to find the stillness. Because I am the way. eye, the eye that was planted in you from the very beginning, way before this life, way before all the other lives, way before the world was, I, Christ, was planted in your midst. And so we have nothing to overcome. We have only a misperception, a misconception, and we have been given the way to set that down, to drop it. And then here, within, I am the way. I reveal myself. I reveal the spiritual kingdom as being present, omnipresent, here, now. Let us listen to John's take on this, and though you've heard it before, hear it anew. Hear it with your soul. It is your Christ self speaking. In the beginning, before the world was the Word. And the Word, of course, is I. So let's put it that way. In the beginning was the I of your being. And the I was with God, and the I was God. The same I was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the I. And without that I was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light, the eye, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Do you not see that the darkness are the misperceptions, the misconceptions, the mental images of a world of good and evil, and a self that has to get out of such a world? The light, the eye, is shining in those misperceptions. But the mind of misperceptions cannot feel it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness. So he was not the I, but he was sent to be so still that he could bear witness to the I. Yes, it's the I. That was the true light, the true I, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so this I was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. And this eye came unto his own, and his own received him not. We've had many, many experiences, many lifetimes. Always that eye was at the center of our being. But we could not receive it, because we were focused on mental images, misperceptions, mental concepts of a this world that needed fixing or healing, or repairing, or saving, wars that needed to be fought, lands that needed to be conquered, relationships that needed to be built. Always something taking our attention away from the Christ, the I, so gentle at the center of our being, and so we received it not. But as many as did receive him, that I, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or the Christ, even to them that believe on him, which were born then not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now they were born of God, or became an expression of God. And the Word, the I, the Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I tell you, the Word is invisible flesh at the center of your being. It dwells among you. And if you can be still, stop struggling, stop fighting, stop thinking, stop knowing, stop overcoming, stop working, stop. Something will move through you, and you will behold its glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the Christ, the I, full of grace and truth. And now we move into, man was not born to cry, and the Prince of Peace, the very I of your own being, the Christ. He starts us with, Joel starts us with, God did not inaugurate anything new 2,000 years ago. And I tell you, he will not inaugurate anything new 5 minutes from now or next year. The Christ has always been your very center. The function of the Son of God was made clear through Christ Jesus. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. That was the Son of God speaking. You see, I am the resurrection. Why are you trying to resurrect yourself? You cannot do it. You're right. It's impossible. You will not attain it in this lifetime, nor the next, nor the next, nor the next. You can't attain it. It comes by grace when you let go. When you let go. Stand still, yet receptive. Then I am the resurrection. And so Joel says here, that was the Son of God speaking. Jesus was not all this. It was the Son of God speaking through him. In other words, Joel's saying, Jesus was not the Son of God. And no, nor are you. And nor am I. Nor are you or me. There's only one Son of God. And that's the I at the center of your being. And the way to attain that, he says on the next page, is every day retire for a short period of silence. Go within. But do not pray to God. Do not pray to God for anything at all. Just sit in the silence and find peace within yourself. Feel peace within yourself. This is the great secret. Now, don't take that lightly. When he says this is the great secret, he means just exactly that. This is the great secret. Not struggling, not striving, not trying to apply principles, not trying to overcome, not trying to leave this world or surrender yourself, not trying this, that, not trying affirmations, denials. No. The great secret that's so great most people miss it and think it's something not worth dwelling upon, is to just sit in the silence until you feel what he calls the peace that passes understanding. But it doesn't mean sitting there until you become calm. It's deeper than that. It's more than that. If you have practiced the presence, and you have practiced contemplation, which leads you to a point of stillness inside of yourself where thought comes to an end, then you can be receptive until you receive an impartation from the living God, which utters itself into your soul, into your Christhood. And you feel that as a deep peace, a deep release. You feel it as a quickening, a movement, a transcendental presence, ever so gentle and loving. That is the great secret. That is the way of I. And that's what we follow on this path, is the way of I. And so he says, all we have to do is to bring forth that which God has planted in the midst of us. You see? We're not overcoming a world. We're not even killing or dying a self. He told us there is no such self. There is no material world. All we are doing is bringing forth that which God has planted in the midst of us, the kingdom of God within you. Our individual life must show forth God's grace, says Joel. Let us understand clearly, God has planted the seed of himself in each of us, the seed that springs forth as the fully developed Son of God, that we may show forth the glory of God. All that we must do with our individual lives is to show forth God's grace. And of course, that's a grace or a presence that pours out, gives, shares, loves. And so, like John, Joel has discovered how to be so still that he can bear witness to the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and he's inviting you to do the same. If we have not found the Christ within ourselves, we cannot share the Christ with another. No, if we have not had that internal spiritual experience in which the Christ does announce itself, then at best all we can be is a human do-gooder. And we've already said being a human do-gooder creates evil, because the very premise is based on two powers. Yes, he says, no one who is not expressing love can draw love to himself. No one who is not expressing abundance can draw abundance to himself. You see, you have to be that Christ pouring out. And you cannot be that through your struggles. You can only bear witness to that I flowing forth. This is the way of I. Before anyone can share the spirit of peace, joy, love, and abundance, he must first be ordained with the Spirit of God. You see that? The Spirit, the Christ, must be in you before it can flow out. And it is in you all times, That's not what that means. It must enter you from someplace without. It doesn't mean that. It means you must have the consciousness of it. Yes, it's there all the time, at the center of your being. It is your being. But unless you have that conscious feel of its movement, then it's not. There's this false sense of self living there. But when the misperceptions and misconceptions and mental images are put to sleep, even if temporarily, you find that inner stillness and silence. You stand stock still. You stop. And you are receptive. Then this I takes over. You have found the way of I, the way of Christ. It is our individual responsibility, says Joel, to find the kingdom of God, or the Christ, at the center of our own being. We retire to that secret place within ourselves, and there commune with the Son of God, until the feeling of peace envelops us. And when we find our peace, those who have come to us for help also receive their peace. This is important here. He says, one of the very earliest revelations given to me was that it is not necessary for me to pray for anyone or to give treatments to anyone. It is only necessary for me to find my own inner peace. And then the peace that I find, the awareness of harmony, again, notice that it's just not a little calm feeling he's talking about when he says the peace, because he expands on that. The peace that I find, which is the awareness of harmony, the awareness of wholeness, the conscious awareness of completeness, immediately becomes the experience of those turning to me for help. In other words, you see, there's no work here. You're not working to pray for somebody. You're not working to give a treatment for somebody. You're not doing anything in the mind. In the mind, that human mind, is where the misconceptions are. And so you have nothing to do with it. You're not trying to overcome it. You're not trying to treat, to pray. It's only necessary to find your own inner peace, which is an awareness of harmony, wholeness, completeness. And when you have that conscious awareness, when you have the awareness of I, you have found the way of I, and immediately it becomes the experience of those turning to you. There's no work in that. There's receptivity, there's listening, there's stillness, there's conscious awareness. The healing Christ is the Prince of Peace within us, the Son of God planted there from the beginning. Do you see how there's no self to overcome? There's no world of good and evil to come out of. There's no work for you to do, no prayers for you to give, no treatments. There's only the way of I, Christ. Because, says Joel, God has incarnated himself as man. Now, what that means, since there is no material self, no material universe, it means that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made invisible flesh. Now, that Word is your very soul. It's your soul. The Word, the Christ, The I is your soul. That is your center. Your soul is I. I am your center. I am your soul. I, the living Christ. When you become quiet and the mental concepts stop, then I, the soul of you, speak my word. I utter my voice into your mind, and you receive it as impartation from me at your center, from I. And I speak the word in your mind, and you receive it as an impartation, and it forms itself as your body, as the body of your body, as the body of your outer experience, as the body of your supply, as the body of your companionship, as the body of your life, the body of your business, the body of your mission. And so, as Joel said, we should be standing in the first chapter of Genesis, where consciousness, I, your soul, the living Christ, the Word, made invisible flesh, manifests, flows into your mind, and expresses as your world. And if you find that inner peace, then Christ liveth you. You have found the way of I. But if you don't find that inner peace, if you struggle with words and concepts and thoughts and ideas and misperceptions, then there's a false sense of self in the mind, and it expresses as good and evil. But do you see there's nothing to do out here? The change must be within. Who is forming your world? Do you follow the way of me? Or do you follow the way of I? Joel says, there must be the conviction that our life is not really ours, but the life of God individually expressed through us as you and me. The mind of God individually manifested as your mind and mine. We are sent to show forth God's glory. Are you operating your mind, your body? If you are operating them, you have an inner transition to make. And you can make it in this lifetime. And perhaps right now you can only make it for a few seconds in your meditation. Fine, so make it. Because the more time spent in the way of I, the more I can manifest as you, and the more you will come into the conviction that this life is not yours, it's mine, and I at the center of you intend on living it. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. It is your function and mine to live so that God's will may be done through us. Our lives must be dedicated to that principle. What principle? The way of I. Don't you see your soul is Christ now? Christ is your real identity. And in the stillness of any human concepts or human thinking, I impart myself to you, and manifest my kingdom? There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. There's only the Prince of Peace. Come to live on earth as in heaven. Come to express as your outer experience, even as I am your soul. Wherever there is an individual capable of putting himself aside and realizing, I am here that God's will may be done through me. I am here so as to be an outlet for the Christ. I am here that I may be used so that this I within may function for the benefit of all those still in darkness. Whoever is able to do that, there the Christ lives that life, and only there. Now, what part did that person play? Only one little tiny part up here. Put himself aside. And that takes place within. There's nothing to do with out here. In your meditation, you put yourself aside. How can the kingdom of God, says Joel, come on earth if it does not come as individual you? Raised up to your Christhood. Well, it can't. You must make the transition. That's what this entire book is about. We must release the Prince of Peace from within us by communing with the Spirit within. And then, as it escapes, letting it go before us to do its work. We are not called upon to go out into the world. We are only to release the Spirit of Christ into the world. You see that? Where is the work? Do you have work going out and teaching, or do you have work healing people, or do you have work? No. No. Your work is to put your sense of self aside so that I may come forward. We must become centers, says Joel, through which the grace of God can escape. Our greatest value in all the world lies in our periods of silence. That silence is where you put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. All through the years we've been crying out, oh God, I want to come home. Oh God, please help me. But God waits for those that bring him their silence. And now I turn within myself to my own soul, where God has planted the Christ. God itself is the Christ, my soul. And here is my silence. I put myself, the misperceptions, the misconcepts, I put them aside. Now, I follow the way of I. Let I reveal itself. Let I flow. Let me be still. And actually, let me be nothing. Father, Christ, flow. And so Joel says, that which we are seeking is the Son of God in us, within our own consciousness. All the sacredness of the Son of God, the Christ, the Word made flesh, is established at the center of our being. It's there now. The eternality, the immortality, the infinite nature of God's being. Because we are one with the Father, and all that the Father has, I, at the center of my being, am. His wisdom, His mind, all that the Father has is already ours. His grace, His glory, His presence, His substance, His being. Only in our oneness with God are we at one with every spiritual light who has ever trod the globe, past, present, or future. And so you see, our responsibility, says Joel, is to plumb the depths of our being and then stand still. Stand still. Our responsibility is put ourselves aside and listen. Our responsibility is to be receptive, that we may participate, really lose ourselves in the way of I. The Son of God was placed in you before the world was. And that Son of God within you, the Christ, will reveal that you are standing in its being, and its being is in you, and you are one. There is one here. And so you see, when you go in your inner temple during your meditation and you knock on the door and the inner voice says, "Who's there?" It's time to stop saying, "It's me, God, please." When you knock on the door and the voice says, "Who's there?" in your meditation, it's time for you to say, "Thou art. And now let me receive the way of I." Or rather, "Thou art. And now let me be nothing and bear witness to the way of I." Continues here in Across the Desk. He talks about the virgin birth. He says, "Then comes the birth. When the birth takes place in you," the birth of what? The birth of I. Not the birth of I as if I is brand new and just starting. No. The I is eternal and immortal. There before this lifetime. There after this lifetime. But there right now. So it's not the birth of the I. It's the birth in your conscious awareness of the I. That's the transition. So when the birth takes place, he says, it brings with it such very visible and tangible effects that we know beyond all doubt that the Christ has touched us. Yes, we know we've made that contact, because it imparts itself to the mind and then forms itself as our experience. Then, of course, he warns us that we shouldn't be talking about it. If it's new and we're just beginning to make that contact, we must be still, both within and without. Eventually, it will form itself in such wonderful outer experiences that people will see it. Look at that. Look what that person has, or look how comfortable that person seems. Or, what are you doing? You just, in the middle of this crisis, you seem at peace. It will show itself. It will form itself. And people will see that you're no longer struggling. Joel says, there is no Christ experience for anyone while he is living on the human plane. There must be a purification of consciousness, a baptism of the Spirit, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Now that's very, very important. Very important. There is no Christ experience for anyone while he is living on the human plane. Now, what does that mean? That means if you come into your temple as a human being, and the human being continues to function in there during your meditation, you are not going to be able to have the Christ experience or to follow the way of I. It's just not going to happen. Why do you think he's told us repeatedly over and over and over throughout all the writings? In order to have the Christ experience, there must be an absence of fear, hate, or love of any effect. Why do you think they're telling us this cute little story about there cannot be a person there? There can only be thou. The person is made up of fear, hate, and love of effect. That's right, I said love of effect. If you love anything in this world, you are loving a concept you built in the mind, or a concept that's appearing in the mind. If you hate anything, it's the hate of a concept, a misperception. If you fear it, it's the fear of a misperception. If you hate, love, or fear anything out here, or anyone, that's right, if you love anyone out here, you are loving a concept. How do you know? Because a concept can die, but I will never die. And so if you fear, hate, or love anything or anyone in the realm of effect, then you are living on the human plane, and there is no Christ experience for you. That is why you must come to the temple with pure hands. You must contemplate, read, ponder, whatever you need to do to become free of fear, hate, or love or anything in the realm of effect before you enter your temple. God will not enter that temple with all those things roaming around. And so you free yourself of that first through reading some scripture or spiritual literature, through contemplation. You come to a place where you're able to set that aside. That's your work. And then be still. Joel says, stand stock still. Stop, I say. Then, for you, there is a Christ experience. Then, you are receptive to the way of I. And so, finally, the state of consciousness that does not accept two powers, which is a state of consciousness free of fear, hate, or love of anything in the realm of effect, the state of consciousness that does not accept two powers is a consciousness that can receive the Christ because it is pure or a virgin state of consciousness. And again, the story of the virgin birth is showing us that we must be free of fear, love, or hate of a self, or a thing, or a world. Then, in that silence, we are receptive. We can feel the very presence of our own soul, Christ, the living God, the living Word. That's our only function. Stand still. Bear witness. Be receptive. Be that virgin consciousness into which Christ pours itself. And as it imparts itself, you feel it. You sense it. There's a total release. You know that God is on the field, Joel says. I say you feel a quickening. You can feel it. You have found the way of I. And I imparts itself, you might get a message, even a voice, and perhaps only the feeling of peace. But however it imparts itself, it then forms itself. You have found the way of I, the first chapter of Genesis. And someone sent me this page on Joel on spiritual healing. Thank you so much. You know who you are. I love you. And I wanted to read something from it. The last paragraph. Christ, or the divine idea, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, is always at hand to guide, direct, lead, govern, support, sustain, maintain, equip. This Christ power is ever present as your very own consciousness or soul. But only when the conscious thinking mind is stilled and we are receptive to this omnipresence do we perceive its activity and behold its fruitage. Omnipresence and omnipotence is not something you have to get, pray for, treat for, or desire. It is to be realized or felt through silent receptivity. We need not tell the Christ what or who is to be benefited. Just be still. Be still. Be receptive. Be patient. The Christ is the reality of your own soul and is right where you are. But you cannot discern it through your thinking, through either physical or mental force. It does not come by mental might or physical power, but by my spirit. Do not strive. Do not struggle. The battle is not yours. Be still. Be quiet. Be patient. Be receptive. Now you see, that is how you put it aside. It being the false concept of self, or the false concept of a world in good and evil. You put it aside when you come within and don't fear, hate, or love anything in the realm of effect. You put it aside when you are still, quiet, patient, receptive. So, the answer to the question, how long will this take? Can I do it in this lifetime? Am I about to give birth? The answer to that question is, I don't know. It's up to you. Not because it's up to you to do something, or know something, or pray for something, or struggle, or overcome, or rise above. No. No, it's up to you to stop all that. It's up to you to be still. It's up to you to stand so still that you've put all of that aside. Then, in your quiet receptivity, something happens. I announces itself. The Word made invisible flesh, your soul in the bosom of the Father, now announces itself, imparts itself to you, flows through you. The presence of the living Christ is now you, and there's no other you present. And then I am the way, and I am the resurrection. I lift you up. I do. Into the conscious awareness of I itself. It's an internal transition, my friends. I'm feeling it now, so let's be still. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living I, and I am in that temple? Be still and know consciously I am God. I am the way. I am the true self. I am the resurrection. I resurrect the I. And so, my dear friends, if you have followed this talk today, then perhaps you are resting in the I, as I am. Find your center. Find a way to set everything else aside. Find a way to be receptive. Find the way of I. Thank you.